looking good, Meg. Looking good.
We're just going in the studio right now, y'all. Good morning. This is Pep Talk, Pensacola's expert panel with Meg. This was a suggested song by our guest this morning at Avalon HR with the theme of staying alive in this cold, staying alive during tax season.
That's it.
List goes on, right?
That's it.
Yeah.
Chip Wood is here and Stacey Orn. They are both with Avalon HR. Good morning, y'all. It's great to have you back.
There's probably another song I could think of, too. But
yeah, there's a few out there.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's cold.
But I thought, Chip, I've never seen you move quite that quickly. That was pretty interesting.
I know.
See that little disco moves, those John Travolta moves happening.
Back in the day. Well, anyway. It's all good.
Oh, my goodness.
It's all good.
So Chip Wood is our VP of Sales and Marketing, and Stacey Orn, to give you all a proper introduction, is the HR and Benefits Manager for Avalon HR. So all kidding aside, tell us about your company and what y'all do.
We are a full-service PEO, which is an acronym for Professional Employment Organization, located here in Pensacola at 100 South Pace Boulevard. And what we do is, in the eyes of the federal government and the state, we become the employer of record for your taxes in the 940s, 941s, which are quarterly taxes and year-end taxes for your business. And we make sure that you stay compliant with all regulations the Department of Labor issues about every, I don't know, 15 minutes, it seems.
So, right. Especially this past year or two.
Yeah,
right?
There's a lot of things that are coming out, and Stacey keeps up with those. I do a lot of webinars on different states and what happened in different states. Here's a good one for you. Florida has a wage limit of $7,000 for your SUTA and your FUTA, which is your state unemployment, and your federal unemployment tax. After your employees reach that level, that is no longer charged.
Mm-hmm.
That's in Florida. Now, that same thing in another state, such as Nevada, is $48,000 a year.
Oh, okay.
So, I mean, every state is different with their legislative labor laws. And it can be quite confusing to a lot of businesses because they change every year.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to keep up with that, and we do, and that makes sure that you're in compliance with all the rules and the regulations that are going on and let you focus on what you do best, which is running your business.
Okay. We're talking with Avalon HR. So if you have a question this morning, they are experts on all of these topics from HR to taxes to everything that's happening with your business, and then to help you focus on what you need to focus on to keep your business going. So if you have a question, just text it in at 850-437-1620.
It can be quite complex. Just trying to, well, Stacey, I know for a fact, because she and I have to collaborate on a lot of deals and things that are going on, and the taxes and how it affects health insurance.
Mm-hmm.
And what is a 125 deduction versus non, you know, like owners can't take. I mean, Stacey, you can go into a little bit of that, and it's a good subject.
Everything set up, what Chip's talking about is basically an owner of a business, according to the IRS, is not eligible for pre-tax benefits, what we do call a Section 125 or cafeteria plan. They're not eligible to take those pre-tax because they've set it up. That's the same. It rolls over into the 401k, and why owners can't just put themselves on a 401k, or why they can't contribute excess amounts compared to their employees. It's because the IRS states that no owner of a business should profit from a benefit plan more greatly than the employee. You can't set it up as a business owner just to better your financial situation. It has to actually be a benefit to you and your employees. So, yeah, the IRS just stated no owner can benefit more greatly than the employee, so you don't get pre-tax benefits.
Yeah. I'm silent here. I'm thinking, wait, what?
Oh, and they make it a little worse. They even extend it out to the family members of those owners,
right,
who may have working,
really,
for you.
Yes.
Yeah, direct family members.
And how many people actually know that?
I have not heard that before this moment, so
yeah.
I'm really surprised by that information.
And that's what happens, and we get a lot of calls, or Stacey gets a lot of, well, I do too, but we've had people that call Stacey, and they just want to know, well, why? I mean, why, you know, I can't tell somebody, you what these people think while they're sleeping.
It sounds like they're penalizing the owners.
Not penalizing. They can still have the benefits. It's just they get a tax break from the business side on those benefits as well. So it would be like double dipping. They would get the pre-tax benefit as an employee, if you will, and then they get to take the benefit of that cost on the business taxes. So it would kind of be like double dipping. So to even it out a little bit, they take away that pre-tax status for the benefits on an owner and their family members. So it kind of levels the playing field a little bit.
Okay, that makes sense, I guess.
Can you imagine the people that sit around and think this stuff up?
I don't know. That's why you do what you do.
I know, but you know
run small businesses, and that's a lot to have to deal with.
Can you imagine how fun these people must be to be around?
No. Do I detect a note of sarcasm there, Chip?
Yeah. I mean, you think about it sometimes, and when we look at all these different laws that they draw up, I find myself going, who thought of that?
Mm-hmm.
But it is a necessity, and somebody did, you know, they have to do that. So,
then
we have to interpret it.
You mentioned earlier that you're a PEO, a professional employment organization.
Correct.
So why does that help you? I mean, you touched on it a little bit, but how does that help you stand out from other HR companies or professional, you know, the service companies that help people with payroll and payroll companies? This really sets you apart, doesn't it?
Yes. Well, there's several things that set us apart. We are IRS certified, and there's less than 30% of PEOs in the nation that are IRS certified. And that is a real strong certification to have, because that means we have to be audited on our audits.
Interesting. Okay.
And that gives the client security that any taxation or anything like that is well funded, and is also they can't be held responsible if we were to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the past, there has been instances where other PEOs have failed to pay the proper taxation, payroll taxes. And what it does is they go after the PEO for those taxes. Well, they can't do that in this situation because we are the certified.
Okay, very good.
And that's a big deal. It's a bigger deal than a lot of people think.
Mm-hmm.
It is a big deal.
Okay. And so in that way, you do stand out?
We stand out quite a bit. There's, like I said, less than 30% in the nation, and there's only two locally, us being one of the two, that are IRS certified and ESAC certified. ESAC is employer assurance. So it's a bonding, proof of bonding and things like that. So,
well, one of the things you've mentioned before too is that you have clients that may be based in here in Pensacola, but may be doing business in other states or
That's
have
correct.
Facilities or other locations, and that you have to have special licensing for those, don't you?
That is correct. We have to not only have a PEO license in those states, but then we also have to have proper workers' comp credentials in those states. Because every state there, again, is different.
Mm-hmm. So you have to be registered just to file, you know, if you've got one person in a state, you have to register in that state to file their taxes in
correct.
That state.
State unemployment taxes.
Yeah, their state unemployment taxes
federal
don't,
taxes.
You know, just because we're located in Florida, they're direct, employers in Florida, but they're working remote from North Carolina. Well, guess what? You have to pay North Carolina state taxes.
Right.
That's where you are physically. That's where you are working. So there's a lot involved, and a lot of those registrations and the filings to do the taxes cost money.
Mm-hmm.
You have to pay to do that. So, you just have to do it once. So if we register in North Carolina, no matter what our clients come into North Carolina, there's no additional charges or anything like that because we're already there. We're already adding them on to an existing policy.
Mm-hmm.
So it can be very costly as well. It takes a lot of time. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness. State registration takes a lot of time.
Oh, I bet.
And then there are some states that don't even have any registration.
Yeah, they're like, whatever. Come on in. Nice to meet you.
Mississippi's one of those.
So we're talking about time. We're coming into the end of, it's hard to believe, the last week in January.
Yes.
So is it too late for someone with their business, if they're looking at 2026, to contact you?
Absolutely
and to
not.
Get set up for payroll and that kind of thing
We're working on
for this year, I should say.
Two quite large companies right now that they're wanting to move from their previous companies to us. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to get everything aligned to do
that. How long of a process is that? Is it difficult?
It's not difficult for me, but it requires, I have to look at their prior workers' comp insurance. Mm-hmm. I have to then get what they call loss runs. I want to look at their history of losses, any workers' comp claims, anything like that. And then I have to submit them to our carrier and have our carrier approve them.
Mm-hmm.
And our carrier sometimes wants to know, well, what do? How do they do it? Right. How high do they go?
Isn't there an expression, the devil's in the details?
Very much.
Mm-hmm.
Very much.
If you're interested in Avalon HR, you can ask the question this morning just by texting it in onto Pep Talk at 850-437-1620. We have Chip Wood here, Stacey Oren, and we're talking a lot about taxes and all the things you have to worry about this month in January, of course, in the next month or two. But also you handle HR issues. When you're in the beginning of the year, Stacey, and things are happening, you've got new employees coming in. A lot of our businesses have seasonal employees, so they're having job fairs and that kind of thing. Right. From an HR perspective, what should an employer be thinking about now in this time of year?
Oh, prepare, get ready. I mean, you don't want to wait until spring break to start hiring your staff. That's mm-hmm. that's a sure way to make things go bad in a hurry. You know, get them in now while it's a little bit quieter, slower. Let them get, used to things, get things going. Because, like you said, we're at the end of January. Mm-hmm. Spring break is going to be here in a month. I mean, yeah. There's going to be school start a month.
Know,
oh,
it's
my
happened.
Goodness.
It's coming up quick.
Start planning for that now. Start getting some people in place so you've got a good, trained, solid crew. Retain mm-hmm. the experienced crew you have. Turnover is expensive. Every person that walks out of your door carries a bit of unique knowledge with them, whether you realize it or not. Some of that is never recouped. It's just kind of lost along the way. And training can be potentially very expensive. You know, there's a big investment. Anytime you bring someone in, if it doesn't work out, then, the old adage of hire slow, fire quick is probably very true.
Really?
Okay. I'll take a little extra time, make sure you're getting the right person in that position. Mm-hmm. But when you get someone in and you realize that things are not going well, cut your losses early. Don't invest any more money, time, energy in something that you are well aware is not going to work out long term. Mm-hmm.
And that's where you come in.
That is where I come in. From difficult terminations to counseling to medical advice. You know, if someone comes to you and says, hey, I need an accommodation, what do you have to do? You know, what are the steps? It's an interactive process that we have to go through to determine if that request is reasonable or not.
Mm-hmm.
And the definition of reasonable varies greatly from business to business.
That's right.
And I mean, like if you're a line cook, it's not going to be reasonable to put a soundproof room around your cooking station.
No, probably not.
No, I mean you know, no. there's things like that, mm-hmm. But things that may help would be moving you to a quieter lunch shift instead of a dinner rush.
Right.
It could be, for an office worker, a different type of chair could be an accommodation,
mm-hmm.
a different keyboard, mouse, and those aren't considered undue hardships to a business expense-wise. That's considered a reasonable accommodation.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a whole process that you go through to determine that, and, that one is that one's a big one. You want to talk about getting in trouble. You know, the ADA will do it for you, and that's the Americans with Disabilities Act. That will get you in hot water in a hurry,
mm-hmm.
in a big hurry. And a lot of it is education and just, being able to walk through the process and talk through the process. And, we have a lot of clients that don't meet the threshold for FMLA. They're not required to offer family medical leave. Because they don't have enough employees, and mm-hmm. any amount loss will be considered an undue hardship.
Right.
Okay. So what do you do then if you have an employee that needs to take some time off for a medical reason?
Mm-hmm.
How do you handle that? How much information are you allowed to ask for? What can you do with that information you receive? And that's where we kind of come in as a neutral party. That information gets sent to me. And somebody's like, well, what difference does it make? Mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you know, I've got an employee that was just diagnosed with MS, and I let all the managers know that, that could very well potentially impact decisions they make about this person's future.
Mm, right.
Okay, so just or unjust, verified or not verified, mm-hmm. it puts that basis for, you know, potential discrimination right there in the forefront. So, you know, who has access to that information? Mm-hmm. What do you do with it? How do you maintain, you know, security, privacy, the HIPAA regulations?
Right.
Every time I sign in to one of our medical vendors, every single time, I have to acknowledge a HIPAA certificate saying, you know, that what information I'm looking at stays right there.
Well, doesn't that bring up, too, the value? Because I'm surprised at how many small businesses don't have an employee handbook or a policies and procedures book.
Well, actually,
so, and how important is that?
That is very important, and that's one of the things we do when we're interviewing a prospect is we talk about the employee handbook, and if they have an employee handbook.
So many don't, believe it or not.
Well, and we know that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me take a look at it. We'll run it through our legal team
mm-hmm.
and make sure that it is all legal, because you can't have things in there like, you know, you can't wear anything in particular.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
You can't start dictating what somebody's going to look like and
well,
how their hair looks.
It gets interesting.
In some situations, you actually can. See, that's just it. There are certain corporations, when we have several of their locations, and they're a nationwide corporation, and their rules on jewelry and, you know, especially facial jewelry and things like that are very, very strict.
Mm-hmm.
They have to be because of what they do. Okay? I mean, it's just an absolute imperative.
Right.
So, you know, and that's why they hired someone one time I'll never forget. And she was being told to, you know, follow the same rules as everybody else. And she calls me and she's being discriminated against because she was asked to take off jewelry she never takes off. I was like, did not during the, you know, interview process, did they explain to you this policy that, you know, well, yeah, but I didn't think they meant it. You know, are they asking you to do anything they haven't asked everyone else to do? Well, no, that's the rule for everybody. Well, then it's the rule for you, too. Like, you don't get to be the exception to that rule. Mm-hmm. So sometimes having those difficult conversations, be it, you know, body odor, be it relationships in the workplace, be it, you know, just I think I'm being discriminated against. It's nice to have us as that third party because mm-hmm. we are the neutral party.
It takes the personalities about it, because sometimes it is a personality conflict.
It often is a personality conflict.
Yeah. You know, if you've got any questions on these or anything particular, give us a call at 850-475-1555 or text in right now, and we'll be more than happy to try to answer your questions. Some of the legal aspects of this, we do take to our legal counsel mm-hmm. and let them...
I have him on speed dial.
Yes.
The number here, 850-437-1620. This is Pep Talk, talking to our friends at Avalon HR. Did get a text that just came in. What about PTO? Why is it so different from business to business?
Because in the state of Florida,
that's a great question.
Everybody sit down and put your seatbelts on. Yeah. Here it
PTO,
comes.
PTO, paid time off.
PTO, in the state of Florida, there are absolutely no rules regarding rules, laws, suggestions, regulations, hints, even PTO. What doesn't even have to happen? PTO is viewed as a benefit,
mm-hmm.
and therefore it can be administered in any way that the business sees fit, as long as it's administered consistently.
Interesting. Okay.
And so there's my husband has worked in, he's an industrial electrician, and I cannot remember the last job he has ever worked that has offered him PTO in his entire career of industrial electrician. You work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid. It's that simple.
A lot of it is industry driven.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of industry does this? I mean, my son works in government, and they
all have PTO.
They all have PTO. Sure. And will actually go nuts if they don't get it.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, these are things, and every state is different.
So we're talking about standard practices then?
Pretty much.
Industry to industry?
Yes.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you know, And that's the other thing. You've got to look at your industry and what works. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't have, we have a lot of businesses that just every year at Christmas, 2 weeks, shut down, done. Employees paid, have a great 2 weeks. We'll see you at the first of the year. Great. But not all businesses can support that. Not all businesses can support closing down for 2 weeks during the holidays. It is, but we can write the best policy that works for you. What happens to PTO when you leave? I get more calls like, hey, they didn't pay out my PTO. And I'm like, hey, they don't have to.
They don't have to.
Mm-hmm. You know, we can set best practices. If an employee, you know, turns in a notice, works out the notice, then they're eligible for the PTO payout. If they walk out or are fired for a reason, not going to get you. You know, we can set best practices, but there's right. absolutely no laws in this state that dictate you even have to provide PTO, much less what you do with it if you do.
So that brings up another question, and this is probably, we don't have enough time for it. This might require a whole show, but what about health insurance as benefits, that kind of thing?
That's not a requirement either.
Nope.
Oh, interesting. Some people think it is.
Absolutely.
No, it's not.
There are some states, because we get involved with so many different states.
Right, right.
There's some states where you have to not only supply, California being one of them.
It's the first one that came to my mind.
You have to provide,
short-term disability.
Short-term disability.
You have to have, long-term. If you do not offer a 401k, you have to join something called CalSavers in California. It's kind of a forced state retirement fun thingy. Well,
that's interesting.
So
every state's
every
different.
State's a little different on what they require. But you know, that's why I always preference with in Florida, you know, because we can sit here all day and you know, my brain is not infinite in retaining this. So I have, you know, charts and reference materials because you know, I can't retain all this. I try to focus on, you know, our big states, Florida, Alabama, and Texas. But then I have resources for the other state. You know, I have a very quick, you know, final payday because if you get terminated in Florida, I'm not obligated to pay you until your next regularly scheduled payday.
Mm-hmm.
Other states, if you get terminated, I have to hand it to you as you walk out of my office.
Correct.
Interesting.
Okay. So, you know, sometimes that takes some planning, coordination, because if you're not in the same state and we produce the paychecks, well, you're going to kind of have to get that ready for you. You know, how do you pay people for work comp visits? Do you have to accommodate that time? Do you have to pay for that time? You know, things like that are all things that we can talk to you about to make sure that you're being compliant, make sure that you're good. And
these are things that most people don't even think about.
Well, of course, they're too busy worried about keeping their doors open and right. what kind of product right. you're buying that, and getting everything.
That is correct.
That is correct. Definitely the priority, you know, but that's why we should be there so you can focus on the priority, keeping your doors open.
Right.
Right. People come in and not worried about all this other jazz.
Like, absolutely.
We got you.
And okay. A lot of times, Meg, people say, well, isn't all this expensive? Actually, it's not.
No.
When you figure out how much it's going to cost you to hire an HR director for your company, which those salaries start at about $80,000 a year.
Wow.
We're not anywhere close to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, nowhere close.
And you get
to
a lot
that.
Much. A lot more than just HR services.
Right.
That's correct.
Right. We were talking with our friends, Chip and Stacy, who are here with Avalon HR. Give your contact information. I got about 30 seconds left here, about a minute left.
And give us a call. 850-475-1555. Or drop on, visit us. 100 South Pace Boulevard, just a little bit south of Garden on Pace here in Pensacola.
We have candy. And a kitten. Candy and a kitten. What more could you want for in a workspace? You know,
candy,
I mean, seriously.
Kitten.
We have a corporate kitten.
Okay. What's the corporate kitten's name?
Ava.
Ava.
Well,
which
how cute is that?
Short for Avalon.
Oh, clever.
She's a sweetie. But we'd be happy to help. Just stop by, give us a call. Be happy to talk to you.
All right. Well, what you do is you help businesses stay alive, right?
That's
it. There you go.
Love it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you both for being here on this chilly morning, talking with our friends at Avalon HR. You can go to avalonhr.com, check out their business, and see how they can help your business grow and assist you in being successful.
That's it. Thank you.
Thank you both for being here. This is Pep Talk.